Wasn't that a blessing from the choir? Again, we should say thank you for all they do, for them sharing with us and challenging us. If you have your Bibles, I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, God bless you for being here with us on this cool morning. We're glad that you've made it, and we're honored that you're here. If you're a guest, please come by and say hello to us. We'd love to meet you on your way out. Deuteronomy, if you find that in your Bibles, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So take your copy of God's Word and find the book of Deuteronomy. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel after they had been wandering for many, many years in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They did not believe God. And because they did not believe God, God spoke to them and explained how He was testing them so that they might be people who believed Him. So we're talking today, we're continuing to talk about this very important subject, I believe, for all of you and for myself and for our church, that has to do with how do we live by faith when we're going through trials and troubles. For some who are here today, the trials of your life are what I would describe as they're seasonal kinds of troubles and trials. Our boys and girls and our students, they have real troubles and trials. Our young adult people and our middle age and our seniors, all of them, there are certain troubles that come with seasons of life, age and all the rest. There are some who, many of us who experience things in our life that seem to be permanent. They're not going to end in this world, so we learn how to deal with those troubles by faith in our life. You see, you have two opportunities when trouble comes in your life. You can believe God and believe God has his best for you, or you can reject what God's doing and live in unbelief and live in anger and bitterness and all the things that go with it. So these things are very important. I'm burdened about this for our church. I'm burdened about it for all of you and for myself, that we would learn the lessons God has for us. So we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8 to hear what this section of God's Word has to do about teaching us these lessons. So why am I going through these troubles? It is our common question. Why am I going through these troubles? Why is God allowing these things to happen? Why is all this coming in my life? Well, there are lessons. And there are lessons for those of us who choose to walk by faith and live by faith. And that's what we want to understand here today. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'd stand now and honor the reading of God's Word, we'll read together these first six verses. I want to remind you, if you have your Bible open, and notice that these words are in quotations. Moses is speaking as the prophet of God. These are God's words to Israel, just as they are God's words to us today. All the commandments that I commanded you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and led you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Heavenly Father, we thank you now. Bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So before I get to these five lessons, there are five lessons that God gives to the children of Israel. I believe these same lessons are true for us today. We saw last week, remind you all now of our theme, James 1:3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Faith will be tested. The same faith, your saving faith that you put in Jesus Christ, when you fully trusted in him and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you confessed him as Lord, you believed God raised him from the dead, and you put your permanent confidence that you, when you die, will go to heaven, you've put your faith in him. It is your hope of heaven. That same faith is what we walk with every day, whatever life brings. And I've spoken to people all morning long, and there's no way to make a directory listing all the troubles that just the people who've come to First Baptist Church face. The variety of those troubles, lifelong seasonal troubles, the waves of troubles that come in our life, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. The implication is they will come, and it is then how you handle it as a man or woman of faith. So what is it that God would seek to teach us today? What are these lessons of our trials? We have the ability to understand them from God's word. Why does God allow this to happen? Well, there are here five reasons God gave to the children of Israel. I believe they all apply for us today. Number one, the first lesson is a hard, hard lesson. Some lessons are harder than others. This is a hard one. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness. Wasn't their choice to be in the wilderness, but actually it was. It took 14 days as they got out there in the wilderness, got past Egypt. They got over to the promised land. They sent in the spies. They were afraid. They would not believe God. And for 40 years, they roamed in the wilderness in misery, in desperate conditions. Theirs was an issue of unbelief. Yours might not be that at all. You're trusting Jesus. You're seeking to walk with God. I said last week, some of the greatest trials come to some of God's best people. You see, God humbles us in our trials. Oh, there is one that is hard to kill. You know who it is? Pride and self. Oh, there is one who is hard to kill. He keeps wanting to come back to life. There is one who is hard to kill. There is one attitude that's hard to kill. I'll do it on my own. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else. I will do it on my own. I am good. I am good in my own circumstances. I'm good in my own resources. I don't need anything. And then the trouble comes, and we are humbled. We are like Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, describing the horrible condition of the trials he and the children of Israel were facing. God has pushed my face into the gravel. That's being humiliated. And no one wants to be humiliated. But my friend, unless humility comes, you cannot be saved or walk with God. God resists the proud. Oh, are you proud today? Are you living in pride? Are you thinking that somehow out of your own resources, you're going to be able to solve the trouble you're in? No, the first lesson is a hard lesson. Jesus said it this way. Everyone who exalts himself, that's what pride is. It's exalting myself. Standing on my own ground, I don't need anybody else. I don't even need God. Oh, you see, this is so contrary to coming to know Jesus, because unless you're willing to confess your sin, which takes humility, admit that you have sinned, admit that you have failed God, you cannot go to heaven in pride. Oh, pride is a hard one to kill. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humble, this word humble means to be made low. Oh, the lowliness we feel, the embarrassment, the suffering, the struggle, the emotions that come when we are humiliated. This is the only way God has of gaining our attention, because pride is a hard one to kill. Secondly, we learn this very important lesson, that when we come to a trouble or trial, if it lasts a lifetime or whether it lasts a season, it doesn't matter the length. This second lesson we read also in verse number 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might, number one, humble you, number two, testing you. That's in the present tense. It's an ongoing process. Testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. This is self-discovery. So when the trouble comes, what did you say in your heart and mind? Were you angry? Did you become bitter? Did you start blaming? Did you go around seeking everybody's pity? What did you do? What was in your heart? I want you to take your Bible quickly and turn. I want you to all turn to these verses because they're very important. In Psalm 78, find your place to Psalm 78. Keep your place there in Deuteronomy. You need to mark this in your Bible. Many of you know it. But these 72 verses in Psalm 78 describe for us this ongoing challenge that the nation of Israel had in believing God. And the problem was their hearts weren't right, and they would not believe God by faith. They wouldn't trust God. Psalm 78, verse number, I'll just give you an example. God had, let's just go back here, verse 14. He gave them a cloud by the day to lead them. He gave them fire by night to lead them, verse 14. He split a rock open in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink, like the ocean depths. Anybody here ever seen a rock pour out water? No. He brought forth streams from the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. Yet. They still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart, they put God to the test by asking for food according to their desire. I just want it my way. I don't like all these things that are coming in my life. This is what I wanted, but you see, it's not what you want. It's what God wants. And this is the battle of the proud man and the humble man. You see, unless you can finally come to the place, this is for some of you today, you've been fighting God for a long time. You want it this way, God wants it this way. We read in verse number 17, for their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenants. You see, the tests that Israel went through for all of these years revealed what was really in their heart. My friend, I walk in the same place you do. I deal with the trouble of life just like you have to. And every time I deal with it, I see like a mirror from the trouble what's really in my heart beyond my words. And some of it is dishonoring to God. Oh, the selfishness of our heart when trials come, it shows us just how selfish we are. the self-reliance, the stubbornness of heart. I will read this to you, Psalm 81:12. I gave them over to the, what an interesting phrase this is, the stubbornness of their heart. I'm not going to yield to what God is doing. I'm going to resist this. We forget what we saw last week in James, what we saw in James 1. Let endurance have its perfect work. You see, this is what God is seeking to do. I don't understand all of these things that come in my life. Some that I've caused because of bad decisions. Yes, some of those troubles are my own choice. Some come because the evil one seeks to attack me and my belief. Some come because God sends them and permits them. He permits them all. But this series of troubles that come in these seasons of life, what's really in your heart, my friend, when you sit here today in church and I sit here speaking today, stand here speaking today, beyond what's in my mouth and my outward appearance, is there a stubbornness in my heart, or am I like Psalm 112:7? He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. Those are the two choices. Lesson one, God humbles us in our trials. I'm reading the Word of God just as we see here. Oh, the issue of pride and humility. Secondly, God reveals the condition of our heart. Third, the third lesson is in verse number 3. God teaches us dependence on His Word in trials. Look at this. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand, that He might make you, this is a learning thing. This is a teaching moment. In all of their trials, He wanted you to understand or to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives. By everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Now we must take a quick, I'm not going to chase this rabbit very long, but it applies very much to this verse. The word mana, Hebrew, the word mana means what is it? That's literally what it means. No one knew. We need something to eat. He made us hungry. He let you be hungry. A great need. Oh, we've all got to eat. He let you be hungry, and then one day, something came out of the sky, and they went out, and they said, Mana, what is it? Now, stay with me. This is very important. You've been walking through your troubles, and you've been wondering what it is God is doing, and He begins to speak to you from His Word, and you say, what is this? What are you trying to say to me? You know, I beg and plead with you all the time. As good as it is, and it's important to do, I'm not minimizing it, to speak with those who have wise counsel who can help you when trouble comes. But my friend, you must run to the Word of God. You must come to this book. You must find the ability and the time in all of your... You see, if your pain is great enough, surely you'll find in these words real comfort. Look, I've given it to you here. Psalm 119, 67 and 71. I'll read them together. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Yes. The speaker can say it too, and so can you if you're honest. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went my own ways. I did what I wanted to do. I lived in my own selfishness and self-centeredness. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I keep the Word of God. You see, trouble pushed me back to the promises of God. He says in verse 1, all the commandments I am commanding you this day, be careful to do them. Oh, how God has given to you this blessed book. It is our task at the church to help you understand how to open it, how to read it, how to understand it by the help of the Holy Spirit. And then the other verse here says, it is good for me that I was afflicted. There's the statement of faith. Now, you can take the word afflicted out of it and you put in whatever the trouble is that you're struggling with in your life. It is good for me that whatever has happened to me. When you come to that, and I understand what I'm saying here to you. I understand the seriousness of it. I understand the importance of it. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn what? Your statutes. This. Run to the Word of God. Run to the Word of God. It is for you. It is for you. This manna, this what is it? You couldn't keep it. You couldn't put it, you couldn't store it away. The lazy among the children of Israel who just wanted to go out and get a little and save it up, it'd rot. The other lazy who didn't get up in the morning, they missed it. When was the last time you took time not to have somebody preach or teach the Bible to you, but you read it for yourself? You see, it was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn God's word. The fourth lesson is good. By the way, so God's promises go with us all the way through our trouble. Don't miss that. God's promises go with us all through the trouble. He promised something to Abraham. He was fulfilling it, and they didn't want to receive his word. Man shall not live by bread alone. You must eat the word of God just as much as you must eat your Wheaties. You must eat. I cannot eat it for you. You have to eat it for yourself. It will strengthen you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that means taking this book and reading it, and reading it and hearing with your eyes. Are you listening to the pastor? Hear it with your eyes. Linger on the words. Let these words take over in your mind. Fourth lesson, God provides help in trials. A common statement people say is, well, as I started, why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to me? We should rather say, it did not happen to me, listen, but for me. That's the statement of faith. Oh, Pastor Mike, yeah, I know. You don't know the degree of pain and trouble I've been in. I'm just saying, this is a matter of faith or unbelief for you. This is a matter of killing pride or living in submission and holiness of God and faith. Look at the meticulous care of God for His people. Verse 4, your clothing did not wear out. Now, wouldn't you like to go get some of that? And if you're old like me, wouldn't you love to have this? And your foot did not swell up for 40 years. That's right, Adam. He cared enough about them to take care of, he gave them the clothes they needed. Oh, what did Jesus say? Why do you worry about what you eat? Why do you worry about how you'll be clothed? Oh, you of little faith. You say, Pastor Mike, my problem is bigger than getting something to eat. Oh, I know, friend. I know it is. I understand it well, too. But you see, God's lessons in trials, He first humiliates us. He humbles us. He shows us what we really are so that we confess it and then begin to trust Him, and He teaches us all the way along. He gives us these promises to live on. We've talked about it, those precious promises. And then, guess what He does? I want you to know this, in all of your pain and in all of your trials, God is right there. No, He's not, Pastor. Yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is. He's with you in your trial. He's there. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease, Lamentations 3:23. That's in the same section of God's word where Jeremiah has said, he has pushed my face into the gravel. You see, friend, God's care comes in our trials. God's care comes in our trials. And I want you to hear my words here. He sweetens the outward pain with inward peace. This is a lesson we must learn. He sweetens the outward pains, the conflicts on the outside, even the fears on the inside. He sweetens it. His presence, his help, his words, his word, his presence, his help. He helps us. He sweetens the outward trouble with inner peace. Your clothing did not wear out. Your foot did not swell for 40 years. I want to give you an obscure verse from the Minor Prophets. Habakkuk spoke to the people of God who continued to be rebellious. And yet he reminded them of some very important lessons we learn about living by faith. Habakkuk 3:17 says this, though the fig tree does not blossom, nor the fruit on the vines come, the yield of the olive will fail, and the field will produce no fruit. The flocks will be cut off, and no cattle will be in the stalls. Yet I, here's a statement of faith, when I have nothing, no fruit, no cows, no sheep, no olives, when I have nothing. When I have nothing, yet I will exalt in the Lord. And I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You see, consider it all joy. You mean I've got to rejoice about blank? Yes, you have to rejoice about it. That's the way of faith, by the way. You can live in the way of unbelief. You know what unbelief will lead you to? Bitterness, anger, hatred, and pride against God. One last lesson. This is the best way he ends this. God knows what's best for you because he's your heavenly Father. God the Father is the best father you will ever have. Some of you had wonderful earthly fathers, but you've never had a father like the heavenly Father. Never. Nor will you ever. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father. Thus you are to know in your hearts, as I'm finishing today, I hope that all of you as my friends, you will learn from your trials and put it away in your heart as you hear the promises of God. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does to you. He helps you in your trial. He speaks to you. He gives you that promise. So you can believe God in the trouble. He's with you and he helps you and he brings things along your way and you think, what is this? This is what God's bringing. He's providing for you. He provides for you. He helps you. And now he does it all because he's the best father you can ever have. The best. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, we are disciplined of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Oh, you need the discipline. It's not pleasant. We know from the book of Hebrews 12. We know it's not pleasant. Discipline's not pleasant. But it's necessary. Lord, why do you do this in my life? Because here's God's answer. You need it. One of our dear ladies came to me last Sunday night. And I shared this Wednesday night. Not everybody was in here. And she went to the doctor a few years ago, and the doctor said words that none of us would ever want to hear. He said, well, you know, we've done all the analysis and all the work, and you have cancer. This is your condition. You have cancer. And some of you in this room have experienced that. You know what that, the shock of that and all that goes with it. You're not expecting it. It's just like trouble comes around. It's just like the waves of trouble. You know, they roll in, they roll out. In God's timing. Well, she said that she began to immediately, see, this goes in your heart. All of a sudden, here it is. You have this. You're not going to get it. You have it. She said she immediately started to think what we said when we started this talk. Why me? But you know what she said? The Holy Spirit quickly came to her and said, why not you? Now that is an understanding of what the Heavenly Father permits. You know, we have our own idea of what we think is best. But God has an idea of what He thinks is best. You had earthly fathers who disciplined you. What do we read in Hebrews? We know these words. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. You had earthly fathers who disciplined you as seemed good to them, to help you. But He disciplines you so that you might be holy, that He might make you like Jesus. Some of God's greatest people have suffered the greatest trials. It's not that the trial comes on bad people. Oh, there's plenty of trouble for the wicked. Plenty of trouble. But we would think that if God saves us, we don't have any troubles. It's not God's way. God's way is to use trials, because He is our Heavenly Father, to make you the best. And the best is being like Jesus, who, listen, who learned obedience from what He suffered. You've not suffered to the point of shedding your blood to resist sin, but Jesus has. So today, you find yourself in, like me, in all kinds of circumstances. Some of us are rejoicing. It's a different kind of season for you. You know, folks, there won't be a memo that God sends out or a mass text message that says, by the way, in the next few years, get ready because you're going to have this list of troubles. I mean, that just doesn't happen. There's not a memo. You can't sign up for a mass email or a text. But the Word of God teaches us that for everything, there is a season and a purpose for everything under heaven. And faith says, Lord, you've humiliated me, and I needed it. You have shown me what's in my heart. I confess it. You have given me promises, and I believe them. And you have provided for me, and I am thankful. And you are disciplining me, listen, and I will accept it. That's tested faith. So I have for you as we leave two daily uses, two things. I like to give you these when we leave, because perhaps if you can't remember all of this talk, you can remember two things. Trust and thanks. Pastor Mike, what do I do when I'm in this whole bag of trials? What am I doing? I'm just overwhelmed with all of this trouble. Trust God to know what is best for you. That's an act of faith. You must trust Him. You must work. Your faith must work, friend. It's more than just some intellectual thought. I'm challenging you to understand your faith is a confident assurance of what you do not see. You believe God. You trust Him to know what is best for you, and it includes all of this mess coming your way. And some of the mess that will come that you don't even know about yet. But you learn this lesson by faith, so you're ready for it. And number two, you thank God for trouble. In everything give thanks, in everything give thanks, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. If you're a believer, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's not setting a path and a plan for your life like your neighbor's. He has one for you. To bring you into full conformity to the image and stature of the fullness of Christ. That is what he is seeking to do in us today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your care and your love for us. You love us as your children. You love the people seated here who are born again. You love those who are in rebellion against you over and over. You called out to those who are in absolute pride and rebellion, and you cared for them and you called them, and you have provided Jesus now for all who will be saved. And in the midst of our troubles, we ask you now, save us, Lord Jesus. We ask you that you would help us to trust you. And for some in this room, that will be very hard because of the circumstance they find themselves in. So now we pause. And as a group, each of us think about the troubles in our life and we say, I trust you, God. I trust you. And for others of us here, we say, I thank you. I thank you. So now, Holy Spirit, have your way and your work among us. We hear you now. We listen to you. And now we must be obedient to do what you've called us to do. Oh, we've prayed for you to move among us. We know you are, Holy Spirit. So speak to the hearts of people who are here today in all of their trouble. And may they trust and obey. While you have your heads bowed, if you're here and you need to make a public decision for Jesus, you need to be saved, you don't know about that, we invite you to step forward in public and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. Many of us have done the same thing. Some of you need to come this morning. This is just time for you to join this church. That's what God's put in your heart. It's time to do it. You just step forward, come down, and we'll talk to you about that. With all that in mind, let's stand and let's sing this great old song, Trust and Obey. Stand with me now. Trust and Obey. As you sing it, remember what you've got to do and I've got to do. Let's sing it.